Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of...
What's up, everybody? What is up? Well, well, well. Here we are back to the grind, the weekly wear 'em out, and look what happened. Can you imagine what you saw on Friday? An abysmal jobs report, brutal, and of course, early in the day, the markets decided that, oh my goodness gracious, we are in trouble. But isn't it amazing? And we have talked about this time and time and time again right here on the Bubba Show. We have said to you many, many times that what's good news or bad news in the morning, by the end of the day, it could be just strictly the opposite. And looky, looky, cookie, look what happened. We went from the depths of destruction to closing on the highs of the day. And what is that? What does that mean? Well, let's take a look at what it possibly means. Number one, it means that it looks like they trapped a lot of these short players at the bottom, you know, as typically happens in markets. They either rally up too hard or they break down too fast. And what happens is that the momentum players jump in, and they keep jumping in because they know that it can't stop going in that direction. And of course, all of a sudden, all of the, we'll call them the plungers, plunge their way in. And on Friday's case was the short side of the market. And guess what? There was no more sellers left to sell. There was nobody left to dump. And of course, you start to get a little bit of a rally, and the market goes into a little bit of a phase of consolidation. And all of a sudden, somebody starts buying. And it's somebody, you know, who's got some volume, and they start to buy. And now a short gets nervous, and they start to buy. And before you know it, all the rats are climbing over each other. They get out and they go into a price and time don't matter anymore. I got to get out. Again, I love the scene in Wall Street. Gordon Gekko, get me out at a 45 degree angle. And of course, they were getting out. Now, does that mean that that was just a temporary rally? Well, again, we do believe that the top of the market is in. But we, if you take a look at a chart, if you take a look at the pattern, you will see that we are still in a consolidation pattern. We are still in a position that the markets are really churning back and forth. Yes, the rally looked very powerful. And as you know, from being part of the Bubba Show, that those are just the rallies you want to sell. The ones that look so damn good, because how can I not be in? Now, my other theory, which I've talked about here a number of times in recent vintage, is QE4. Is QE4 coming? Do we recognize that the markets, the Fed, a bunch of lost souls who have no idea of what's going on? And I've said this many, many times, and I will continue to say so. They have no freaking clue of what is going on in the world. Okay, because you continue to hear of their data dependency, but yet the data surpassed their objectives that they originally put out from QE1. Okay, and now we're looking like QE4, because once again the Fed is lost. They are a group of individuals that have lost sight of the long-term goal of what their damn job is. Okay. Now, again, they don't set policy for the rest of the government, because they're not really a part of the government. But they certainly set monetary policy, and they certainly control, as we say, the purse strings. And I got to tell you something. It is scary to what they're doing. It is scary to have people involved that have no idea on what it takes to run a business. I find that extremely challenging and very nerve-wracking as we go forward, because again, being the person that I am, I can see that they are now not going to be able to raise rates, which we already said, but I was hoping I was wrong, because I believe that is the best way for us to get out. I believe that they are totally clueless. I can't call them dumb, but they are, they have no common sense, I guess, and they're ignorant to the situation at hand and really how to get out of it. I guess we're still waiting for an author to write another book to help our academia fed to help them figure out how to get out of this. I think that it's a problem. And if we go to QE4, that will be a bigger problem. But believe me, I said the 10-year is going to 1.5%. I'm living by that. It's under 2% now, and I think that we are continuing to work that way. But we're going to get our friend now from Lila Max Media and the Ka-Ching Report. It's our good friend who is nationally on TV, has her own show, but she's also in the business world and comes to play with us. Our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. She's early today, but we're going to take her and talk to her just a couple extra minutes. So let's get to Jane. My one and only, my star, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
You know, it's amazing. Jane and I were in the same city, probably 5 minutes apart, and we couldn't find enough time to see each other.
But I tell you, it's been a crazy, crazy week in many different ways for me. So including busy and work and all kinds of weird things that I had no control over. And anyway, it's good to talk to you this morning.
It's always good. So, Jane, you know, it's funny. I was in New York, as you know, and you know, we talk often about the economy. Well, you know, one thing I did notice in New York when I was there is there seems to be a lot more homeless people than there was. Every time I come, it seems to get more. Are you seeing any of the same thing? And is that something that should be concerning to people in general?
Well, you're not the only one. There's been a lot of people who have noticed that. And I work in Times Square, so and especially during the summer when I come in, you know, I get to work at like 3 a.m. And there are a lot more than there were last summer. And there's, you know, it's kind of interesting. There was even a guy that, real buff guy, he wouldn't wear a shirt, but he wore a screen mask. And he'd walk around Times Square, and he would, like, pump iron. Like, he's out there doing curls, like, at 3 a.m. And, you know, it's you see these unusual things. But the serious side is that, you know, a lot of people in New York are blaming the new mayor. He's very liberal, very progressive mayor. I'm not sure, you know, if he's given some instructions. Like, you know, I remember when I first moved to New York, you know, I'd see homeless, and the cops were pretty tough on them. They'd be sleeping in the subway, and they'd come with their stick about 2 inches above their head and just bang it on the side of the wall and wake them up. And now I think we've gone the complete opposite direction, where this new mayor has been more tolerant of it. And there's been a lot of riots in the newspapers about it, and other people have noticed it, and it's come up in conversation. So it's not your imagination.
I mean, it just seems to be, you know, again, it goes back to the overall economy. And, you know, I look at now, you know, I've seen recently, you know, the McDonald's are going, and especially in Canada, are going to more of these kiosks. We're going to come back with Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and talk more about these kiosks and about some of the problems that we see in the overall economy. But this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with Jane King, and who showed up a little early today, but it's always great to have her, and we take her whenever we can. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Jane King from the Ka-Ching Report. And as we've been talking about, we talked a little bit about the homeless so far, and when we were going to break, we were talking about what's going on with McDonald's and their new kiosk operation. And, you know, we continue to say that no matter what, you know, you talk about what you think, that companies are not going to be able to tolerate a wage and minimum wage. They are going to figure out ways to get around it and put machines in place instead of minimum wage people. So let's get back with Jane King as we talk about that and a couple of other things as we go. Let's get back to Jane. And they're talking about hiring more people, but really, I think they're just, you know, kind of getting through and getting these kiosks in. And the people they may be hiring now are going to be out of a job in a year once this turbulence dies down. Any thoughts to that?
Well, I think that may be a good point. I mean, you know, we're an economy now, and it's probably going to be like this for a while, where people are really going to have to prove their worth to a company. So you're going to have to provide some kind of value, some kind of service. I mean, you're not going to be in a job forever. Of course, that's been going on for a long time. But you're not, just because you're hired doesn't mean that you're going to be sticking around and, you know, don't have to prove yourself on a day-to-day basis. You know, there's all these, you know, they call it the gig economy. You used to think of just musicians do that. Well, now we've got Uber drivers, Amazon's hiring regular people to make deliveries. It's just going to be very flexible. It's going to adapt to needs. It's going to change and be very dynamic. And I think people really have to be prepared to be valuable, to make money.
And I think it's getting harder. You know, the regular job, the old 9-to-5-er, as they call it, you know, they're kind of disappearing, and we're seeing a lot more of service industry jobs and just what you're talking about. So what is your take on the overall economy right now? I mean, again, I you know, obviously I was in New York, and I had, you know, obviously so many interviews, and it always comes up the same thing. And you know, the commodity space is struggling, yet when you go to the grocery store, now you especially, you know, you've got two kids, and you know, when you go to the grocery store, the collapse in the commodities has not related itself to the prices at the grocery store, has it?
Yeah, no. I mean, and that typically takes a long, long time for that to happen. I mean, you might see you know, some specials on things here and there. But of course, the meat prices have not really collapsed. The beef is starting to go down a little bit, but it's been at record highs for a couple of years. Chicken has been high because of the bird flu. You know, you could probably get a deal on pork, but you see more of like the special discounting or things being promoted more than you will any kind of permanent price decrease.
You know, so I find it very challenging, as you know. I mean, I haven't changed my tune. You know, I find it very difficult when I listen to members of the Fed. Now, again, I believe that they should raise interest rates because, yeah, let's have the market take a little beat down if it does. And maybe it won't. But if it does, what's the big deal? The point is that higher interest rates will actually promote more liquidity and more lending to the average person. And it will actually help turn the economy around and get people back to spending, because I think people are not spending. If they have any extra money, they're saving it. They're not spending it. What are you saying?
Yeah, well, most of us, you know, don't have a lot in savings. And we all got caught kind of during the financial crisis, and I think that's still fresh in a lot of people's minds. I mean, unless you're, you know, 10 years old, you remember how painful that was and how cash was king. I mean, I have friends who were like, they had their credit limits reduced to like $50 above where they were, and, you know, they just had no spending power and ability to do anything. And so a lot of people learned during the financial crisis for the first time what could really happen. I mean, what a bank could do and what a credit card could do, and they could call a note, like, and you better pay it now. So I think, you know, people were spooked by that, and they got smarter in terms of money, and so they're putting more away. Although it's, you know, we have seen like credit, these last few monthly credit reports are seeing that debt again approaching all-time highs. There seems to be a little bit of smarter debt rather than just credit card debt.
Well, I mean, now we've switched the housing bubble to the rent, college lending or student loans, and yeah, car bubble. Because, of course, they just passed $2 trillion, and that actually is a bigger debt than was provided or created by the housing bubble. So, you know, again, I don't look at things, you know, as great. I see, you know, trouble in the horizon. And you know, you follow China a little bit as well. And I know you're an investor in China. And that's kind of calmed down. You know, we had that brief period of a couple of weeks where it was, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And now it's kind of gone away a little bit. Are you seeing anything different there? Or is there any improvement? What's your view on China right now?
Well, it's funny because I just got I get a quarterly report from them. And I used to check it more often online, and then the kids came along. And it's for their college, so I don't check as much anyway. But I did get the paper quarterly report. And I was like, oh, wow, that looks a lot different. It's noticeable, let me just tell you. But it is what it is. I mean, what are you going to do? And like I said, it's for my kids' college. They're 6 and 8. So while I do think China is going to take a while to kind of come around and be back where it was, and be where it should be, I mean, be an economy that is not so immature like it is right now. I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, there's hacking and there's bribery and there's pollution and there's people trying to get by with things. And once they mature and become more transparent, then I think it's going to be a great place to be. But I think it's going to take a while. Hopefully it happens in the next 10 years.
Look, you know, everything always resolves itself out. Now, you know, you guys just had the UN debacle in New York. I give vault what a time that is. But now there's some interesting stories coming out of the UN, and I thought the Putin Obama meeting. What's your take of that, of what's going on between Putin and Obama?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that Vladimir Putin is steamrolling our current administration. I mean, they were completely caught flat-footed when Russia started bombing Syria. And I just think this is a case where the president is very book smart and very philosophical and professorial, and just, you know, somebody with street smarts just totally made him look foolish. And, you know, it's obvious they don't like each other, and it's obvious Obama doesn't like him and trust him, but I don't think he quite realizes the degree that Putin operates and how his mind works, and you got to be smarter. I mean, it wasn't just Obama's defense department. I mean, everybody completely caught off guard by this. They don't know what Russia's doing. Russia's, you know, lying about it or giving a different story, and I hope our next president has a lot more kind of gut savvy instincts about what's going on internationally.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we have a very weak society from a military or a strength side because, again, all of our people right now that are in charge are smart through the books, but they're not smart through streets. And, of course, mm-hmm. you know, Putin and ex-KGB, but... You know, we just look at what's going on, and we got a few seconds or left, but what's your take on the political race? Who do you think is going to, who's the front runners to be the new?
Good question. Oh, my goodness. I mean, somebody just asked me in a couple weeks, who's going to be the Republican nominee? I was like, I have no idea. You know, I think, you know, you look at Donald Trump, he's been leading for months now, continues to lead, has some interesting ideas, is getting more serious as a candidate. Some people just poo-poo everything he says immediately, and I don't think that's a smart strategy. I think let's listen to what he says. I mean, some of the comments he's made about Carly Fiorina and things I don't like and I'm uncomfortable with, but, you know, the tax plan was interesting, had some good points. I don't like his idea of nobody paying no taxes under $50,000. I think people should pay a little just to have a little skin in the game. But I do like the idea of a flatter tax. So, you know, and then I think about, well, gosh, could Donald Trump be? Well, who else would it be? And it's hard to imagine who is going to be a Republican nominee. I still think Hillary Clinton will be. Unless Joe Biden gets in, that may change things. But it's getting late for him. And he's starting to look indecisive about it. So, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be. This is so interesting, and I'm enthralled by it. And, we'll see. We'll see what happens the next few months.
I say no Hillary. I say she's not even going to be elected. I say she's not even getting the nomination.
Nominee. I don't think she'll be elected president. But I can't imagine who else it might be.
We'll see. It's a long story, and it's a long time in coming, and we will figure this out eventually. But you're with my friend Jane King, and not Cash is not King. Jane is King, and we always appreciate you coming on, Jane.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
And this is The Bubba Show. We are with our friend Jane King, The Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media, and we're going to step out here for a break. But before we go, I want to remind everybody that you know, there is nothing more important than hedging and taking care of your portfolio. And we are now offering the Badger and I a new program to help you do that. And I urge you, as your friend and as somebody who looks out for you, to check it out. Go to thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com and ask for some more information. We would love to help you. But we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, my man that I'm going to bring in here in a minute. We talked about this for weeks. We said that no longer was bad news going to be good news. And of course, on Friday, the jobs debacle, the lack of growth, the lack of a Fed intelligence of what's going on. But I got to bring in my man, Mike McClone from ETF Securities. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me back. Well, you mentioned the number, and oftentimes in this business, you know, you have denial, denial, denial. You'll do research like we've been doing. You'll focus on intense stuff. You see trends going on, and the market will confirm it. The market will confirm it. And finally get one piece of data that confirms what you've been talking about for months, and I think we finally got that.
And, of course, we saw the stock market was up 100 and then went down 200 on the numbers, and the bond market is flying, which you've been an advocate of. And of course, all of a sudden, somebody woke up gold a little bit, and so all of a sudden, you know, things aren't so rosy. And of course, you and I both said a couple of weeks ago that, you know what, after they fumbled the ball at the goal line, and the Fed did their ridiculous statement, and then followed up by last week's or 10 days ago's statement at Amherst College, that you kind of rebutted what she said originally. We said, okay, the one thing that has changed for sure is now bad news will be bad news. And of course, I think the markets are showing that now. What do you see?
Yeah, that's what I've seen. I think this has been part of the problem. I think what the Fed's been trying to do is they're trying to talk up the markets. And the markets have seen through that. And that's one thing we've discussed for almost a year now, is the bond market yields have been declining. Retail sales have been declining. Commodities have been declining. All these indicators are saying that something's wrong with the Fed's analysis. And finally, we have confirmation of this. And I think what we need to really focus on is going forward now, what this does, what this means. And this is backward-looking data. But it's finally confirming what the forward-looking markets have been saying. I think what it means is the trend from Q3 in the stock market is probably going to continue, unfortunately. So what does that mean for everything else? It means it's probably going to take Fed tightening out of the market and move it to easing. This is the things we've been saying. If the stock market continues down, we have to expect the Fed to focus on easing. If they continue to use this tightening rhetoric, guess what? The stock market's going to go down harder. So one of the things that should benefit is the things we've been looking at. The bond market should do fine. Why? Because deflationary trends. And the U.S. bond market's still yielding almost double what it's get in Europe, so that's positive. And it looks like the things you and I really talked about is the precious metals. One of the best performers since the numbers come out has been silver. Silver has just popped 3%. So what you think about, I think what this number does is it turns the tails and it gives us investors a chance to say, okay, fine, if we need to be underweight in stocks, if we get a chance to sell in upticks, we're supposed to do that, and overweight on diversifier assets like gold, silver, cash, and bonds.
And, of course, we have the other problems that this will now bring down. And, of course, now you're going to probably have, and I don't know that it'll be right away, but I believe that this now will create a lot of the fear scenario. Because now, what does the Federal Reserve do now? Is QE4 coming now? I mean, I said that, you know, I've been saying it for months. I see a QE4. I mean, the 10 years under 2%. Things don't look good. Growth is really non-existent as I continue to beat my drum on that position. Do you see a QE4 in the cards?
I must say, God, I hope not. Because what I think you and I both is we want markets to return to their own levels without assistance from the Fed. Just return to their own levels without another QE. Sure, if they see deflation, just let it go, because that's been the problem. This QE, I think, has really created this really massive rally, which we're all at risk now of deflating, which can be worse now. So I hope we don't do that. But basically, the Fed has already tightened. By talking about tightening, the dollar has blasted off. And, you know, we've had this a lot of repercussions from other markets, which really has repressed the market. In addition, it's really helped pressure earnings. So we Fed has already tightened by just not saying, by not doing it, but saying it. And by taking that away, that could be, that should be helpful. But please, I hope we don't go the QE in again. I hope we don't have to do that. If it gets that bad, obviously you have buy go. But let's let the markets organically get to their own level. Then we can move forward for the next 10 years without the Fed bothering us.
Well, let me run this by. I mean, I've been on this page for quite a while, and I've said that the only way out is to let free markets, true markets, trade the way that they're supposed to trade, and let markets tell you what the price is supposed to be, not the Fed or anybody else. So let me re-ask the question I've asked you about 37 times over the last year. Do you really believe the Fed has any clue as to what they're doing?
Well, they think this is an indication that, unfortunately, it depends on which how you look at it. I mean, I know your stance, and I completely agree with, we need to let free markets let free markets find their own levels. And I think this is an indication that Fed, the one thing that we have to be cognizant of is their estimates of the GDP have been way too optimistic. Their estimates of inflation picking up have been way too optimistic. But I'm wondering if some of that is they're trying to, you know, be cheerleaders for the market. Maybe so, but either way, these have been way off. And these are just the things you and I have been pointing out, is declining retail sales. One thing that's been really unique is, despite the fact we've had declining retail sales, you know what's been off the charts recently is sales of U.S. Mint silver coins and gold coins, which I think is indicating that's what consumers are doing. Consumers ignoring what the Fed's saying. They're saying, thank you very much, but we're not going to buy stuff. We're going to invest in things that are going to preserve our capital and protect us just in case we have another problem. They're buying coins, silver coins and gold coins.
So what do you now, you know, you and I have both been very big advocates of silver. Okay. We've been both very big advocates of gold, but I'm a little bit heavier on silver. Are you still the big silver fan?
Yes. In fact, as we speak, I'm just finishing up my quarterly update for the precious metals, which will be on the website next week. And the key things I've been focusing on silver is, which is look at the trend. The trend in silver has been down like copper. But this year, copper is down, let's see, so far in year to date, as of end of Q3, copper was down about 18%, and silver was down only 7%. So it's showing impressive resilience. So yes, I'm still very much of a fan of silver. And then you look at the supply side. Supplies of silver should decline for the first year in a long time this year because recycling is going way down. Why is recycling go down? Because prices are low. Then you look at the demand side, off the charts. Silver coin sales, that's not a big part of the market, but, you know, record levels. The biggest part that I find shocking is I watch China, India, gold, and India imports of gold and silver, but India imports of silver this year are another record, which should consume 35% of total supply. That's just never happened. So, and also you see China in India imports of silver are really strong. So I think what's happened is the elastic demand for things you got to have. You got to have silver. 55% of all silver is for industrial purposes. Just think of every electronic device, solar panels. It's the best conductor of electricity. You got to have it. In addition, people are buying it. You can also use it for preservation and coins and capital and for, you know, investment purposes.
So, as we look out and we talk, and this is one of the things that has bothered me, Mike. Christine Lagarde came out, you know, a couple of days ago or last week, and she said something. And of course, I continue to beat the drum that economists who don't have real experience in business should not really be commenting on the overall economy as far as the day-to-day operation. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point. This is an example of you and I love when you make this point because it just brings me back to some of the small business owners I've known in my family, my uncles. They might not be the best, smartest people in the world, but they know their business. And I think that's one thing. When I think of markets, I think of all the hedge fund managers out there. I kind of try to put myself in their place, having worked at a hedge fund, is we're always looking forward, always trying to figure out what's going on in the markets and why, and justify it, you know, with good, back, solid trading smart. So I think is the one key thing that's missing from a lot of the people at the Fed and economists is trading smarts and market smarts, which you and I really learn in the pits.
And, I mean, that's something that's important because, again, I can't stress this enough, Mike. Life, business, everything you do is about free will and free markets. And what has happened over the last 6 years is we've lost that free will and free markets. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's why you and I both agree about the Fed. Please, no more easing. That's just, please, no more quantitative easing. Please, let's not go there. Let's just let the markets organically find a level. And just to give you an example of that is one thing I love to do is you look at all the analysts are expecting bond yields to go up for the last 2 years. In fact, even before we got our program today, the average expected economists expected the 10-year bond yield to go to 2.4% this year. Guess what? It is below 2% now, and it continues to trend lower. And to me, that's one of the best opportunities when they're completely wrong. What does that mean? The problem is they've been wrong for a number of years now. And in just other markets, too, just the stock market. Oh, it's supposed to go up, but it goes down. It's when markets are wrong that I think it really matters where there's an opportunity. And that's where you and I have to be, you know, as analysts, be independent and look at it. And sometimes it's these types of things you get from officials that give you great opportunities, but you have to do the opposite. Like, for instance, what's happened in China recently. These draconian measures that the Chinese authorities put on their stock market to help support it were a key indicator of just how bad things are. Now, here we are a few months later, and we're seeing more confirmed indication that things are worse there. And now, for a generation now, people will be avoiding that market because they know they can't get out.
That's exactly right. And that's why we have the expert. I got my guess. Yeah, I got the best experts in the country. I got Mike McClone from ETF Securities. You got to check out their stuff. SIVR. I'm a big fan. I'm an owner. SGO. I'm a fan. I'm an owner. And I think that you have to continue to watch the space because, again, you're getting the perspective from an actual guy who traded the markets. And so not just somebody speaking it, but someone who actually done it, did it, and will continue to do so. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Mike McClone, ETF Securities. We're going to stop out here for a break, and I'm going to come back. I got more to talk to Mike about. We'll be right back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Mr. Mike McClone, ETF Securities. A real expert on the market. And again, expert doesn't mean you're always right. Expert means that your opinion follows the flow of the market, not the flow of your own personal opinion. And that's where I think Mike does a great job of really reading the tea leaves and saying, hey, this is what should happen. And he's been on this. I mean, if you guys go back, when the Nasdaq hit 5,000 on the way up, he said you should be saying thank you very much and moving on. And of course, we went a little bit higher, but certainly the time has proven that Mike has got his act together. So, Mike, now we know the situation. And of course, I think that takes all potential rate increases off the card for the year 2015, as much as people wanted to argue that there was going to be. Am I correct in that assumption, or do you think there's still a chance there is?
Well, you're correct. We both agreed, and the Fed Fund futures markets have taken those tightenings out. I mean, I think they've priced for like a few basis points left in December. Remember at the beginning of that, and that trend continues to be completely intact. At the beginning of the year, Fed Fund futures for December, which is, you know, last month of the year, priced in 60 basis points of tightening in 2015. Now we're basically near zero, talking the first potential tightening in March, and that's still part of the problem. Still markets still thinking tightening. And I think that's what it hasn't gotten yet, and I think it's getting there. And that is one thing you learn in the trading desk is, you know, you might miss the first or 20 or 10% of a trade or a move, and we're, but I think that's just happening. And so, for instance, we got a lot of room in between, so the market has just shifted. So we might have missed the top, but I'm afraid of how much lower we can go in terms of bond yields and potential silver going up and gold going up. And I think there's still plenty of time for investors to get involved. And we just hope the stock market doesn't go down too much. But we know how much higher it went in since 2009 on QE. And my biggest fear is it just continues to revert that trend.
Well, I mean, I think it should revert. Again, one of the things that, you know, let's talk about this for Mike. We don't talk about this often enough. You know, markets are like any other business. They have to go up and down, and they have peaks and they have valleys. It's no different than when we were trading, Mike. You have good months, you have bad months. At the end of the day, you just hope that your yield curve or your equity curve is moving in an upward direction. But there is going to be good and bad, and markets need. I mean, you know, it's like an oxymoron, whatever, to say this, but markets need sell-offs because it actually makes them healthier longer term. And that's what we need anyways. I mean, the truth of the matter is, for a long-term investor, you want to see the markets off a little bit. A, it gives you a chance to buy in stuff a little bit cheaper and get involved. So if you're managing your portfolio with good risk and you've listened to Mike McClone and you've taken some of your risk off the table and bought some gold or bought some silver or bought some bonds, then you're making money in other directions because you are diversifying out your portfolio. But at the end of the day, the markets do need to have some sort of correction anyways, because that's actually more healthy, because when you get normal corrections, you get markets that don't create bubbles. And when you create bubbles, which we have, you have problems. And that, I think, is what we have here. What do you see?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And that's one big problem that, as an analyst, I think it's more pattern recognition kind of person. That pattern we had from the election of 2012, which was kind of the low in the stock market until earlier this year without a correction, is a classic sign of a sucker's rally. Unfortunately, now you have to, you know, you can join it and maybe hang on for a year or two, and you just want to be able to get out before it has a reversion. And what I'm really fearful now is, that didn't give you a lot of opportunities. There's no volatility. It didn't give you an opportunity to move around. But now that looks like we've entered a bear market. The good news is there's oftentimes tremendous opportunities in bear markets. I mean, you get volatility. So there'll be great opportunities to buy things really cheap in the equity market. And there'll probably be massive short covering rallies, which we've had lately. So at least it should provide the opportunities. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is trading opportunities. But from an investor standpoint, let's stay protected. And the good news is we should be, not be getting hurt too much on these moves. And hopefully we can view this as an opportunity. And I still think, and I still look at the precious metals as incredibly inexpensive. And one thing that's really happened, I've noticed in the end of Q3, is the signs of physical demand were just off the charts. So gold futures are in backwardation. You know, we had some pretty substantial deliveries from the Shanghai Gold Exchange, record imports in India for silver and gold. U.S. mint sales were records, and even imports of platinum in China were records. So some, you know, major entities out there are seeing some pretty good value in the precious metals.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, opportunities. It's the key here, and this is an emotion of traders, is fear and panic never get you anywhere. What it is now is, now you should be looking at this from a business standpoint and saying, okay, where are the opportunities going to be created for me? Would that not be what you'd be looking for now?
Oh, yeah. Now it's about looking for opportunities. So, unfortunately, it looks like we've established a bit of a trend, but the good news is it should be more of a volatile trend compared to the massive uptrend we had in the last few years. And that should provide some great opportunities for some good investing and trading. But I think our audience should be more focused on proper investing. There should be some great opportunities. This question of what, and just focus on where the value is. Like, I see value in precious metals. I see value in the bond market. Yeah, it's going to be a little expensive in the short term. And, you know, we should have some decent volatility in the stock market, although it's likely that Q3 trend will continue down.
Now, when you look, but that's okay because volatility is also very forgiving for traders. Okay, so when you look, and I've been talking about, you know, using hedging programs to hedge your portfolio. If you don't like to sell out of your equity portfolio, you can certainly hedge and use things to hedge that portfolio in. Are you a fan of trying to hedge your portfolio as well?
I've always had problems doing that. If you look at me and say I've lost my hair, probably that's maybe trying to be a trader and hedger. I always look at markets. One thing to remember in markets that are more volatile, you can get the same exposure with a smaller position. So always remember to volatility weight. And that means when you get higher volatility, you can, if you use, let's say if volatility is double what it was a year ago, you can position with half the position, but still get the same amount of dollar VIG, meaning dollar movement in your position. So I think that's something for our listeners to really focus on is remember the volatility weight, and you can use lesser positions now, but you still get the same kind of exposure with volatility higher.
Right. And I have a strategy that I could almost lock into a portfolio by using an option model that can lock in at about 1% from where you are. And you never have to worry about the downside. And in fact, if you get the big down move, you actually can increase your yield on that portfolio. So there's a lot of good things to do. But so as you look now, when does Mike McClone say we should maybe start looking to buy again in this market? In your opinion, how low can we go?
Good question. I don't know. I'm really worried about if you just look at the market technically, 1,500, 1,600 in the S&Ps is a pretty significant level. Now, we're just in the 1,800 handle now, so that's really not too far. And some analysts will say, oh, it's way too far. But you just look at the high from 2000 to 1,500, and then we went down to 800. And then we went back up to 1,500, and then back down to 700. So 1,500 was the old highs. One of the rules in technical analysis is, you know, old highs are now, what was resistance is now support. So I'd look at that level as very solid support. And we're just going to have to look, see how the market reacts. But I suspect the market may get back to that level, 1,500 to 1,600 in the S&P 500. I hope not, but I would think if I look at this as a pure technical standpoint, I would look at it that way. And then if you look at fundamentally, we all see from the data I've been saying that we've been trending towards recession for a number of years now, and that, you know, is not really good for the stock market.
Well, you know, again, I mean, you know, I look at it, I've been calling for 1587 was my number, and I'm sticking to that story. I think we go to at least 1587. I mean, we could go lower, but I think that's my first major target. Now, again, I don't think we're going straight there tomorrow. I think we turn around. I think you'll see some massive rallies, but now I think as an investor and a trader, those are the times you want to start to put stuff. If you're still owning stuff, you want to sell into those massive rallies. If you're a trader, you want to look to get short those massive rallies because those are basically just either short covering or profit taking rallies. Because when the rallies come on huge volatility and huge swings, those are usually ones that you want to sell. Is that not correct?
Oh, yeah, agreed. And one thing we have to expect is some massive rallies. And sometimes I'll just remember, let's talk about the biggest one I remember from 2008. It was on September 19th, which is Triple Witch Friday, when the SEC put out their Do Not Short list. The S&P had a massive rally. I mean, it just took every short out. It hurt a lot of people, the shorts, which sometimes are the truth tellers. It's like free press. And guess what? That marked the top for the next, 6 months. It dropped 50% from that level. So just the one thing, be nimble, be careful, and expect short covering rallies if we continue down in this trend, which we probably will.
So I'll speak for myself and Mike McClone. Be ready, be careful, be patient, be disciplined, and watch your money. And that will guide you to the promised land in the future as long as you take care of your business today. Would you agree, sir?
I agree.
This has been my man, Mike McClone from ETF Securities. Check them out. Go to their website, etfsecurities.com. I'm telling you, I tell everybody they got the best understanding of how the metals markets work and other things, but their ETFs reflect that. Mike McClone, always a treat to have you on. I thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me back.
This has been Mike McClone from ETF Securities. He is the man you got to check out. You got great reports, which we put up on the Bubba Show for you in the members section. All you got to do is sign up for it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here next time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you.
Let this old world just spin.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Events.